It's good to be with you guys again. For those who are not familiar, my name is Tom Rowe. I am currently the Director of Student Ministries, pretty much like the youth pastor at Vienna Presbyterian Church here in Vienna, Virginia. Where are my Virginian people at? Yeah, Sam! that's what's up. But I'm originally from New York. Went to the same school that most of you, are at or have been to. Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here today. As I start, let me just pray us for us. God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, for Zoom and the ability to worship safely in this way, Lord. And as I preach, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and really honoring to you, Lord. But what a great privilege it is, Lord, to be able to declare your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you guys hear me okay? All right, that's good. Today, right across from me, my older daughter is listening. So if I have these random smiles, it's because she's there. We'll see if you could last the whole time. She says, oh, but you preach too long. Shion's like, she hasn't heard Pastor John. Continuing. So when COVID-19 hit, you know, initially I was really relieved because I thought, oh, ministry is going to slow down now. But, ooh, I was wrong. These past 4 months have been probably the four busiest months of ministry. I had to figure out how to use Zoom, right, and start virtual gatherings with students. So I didn't have much time off. It's like, boom, COVID hit. Then our leadership's like, what are you guys going to do? And we're like, oh. So we're scrambling to figure that out. And so we're trying to figure out what we did in person online. And on top of that, we had double the staff meetings. And on top of that, more meetings about just how to do online ministry and deal with all the nuances, all the security and safety issues that come with that. We're still in the midst of that. So a lot of meetings, so many meetings. Anybody here have Zoom fatigue? Zoom fatigue, anybody? Yes. I did like 1 month in. I was like, oh, help me, Lord. So on top of that, they asked me to lead the college Bible study. So again, I'm doing youth ministry now, I'm doing college ministry. All the while, we're trying to figure out what's ministry in the fall going to look like, right? Because we start planning. And it's been an unusual summer because the summer we take off from some of the regular meetings, but we've just done that and more. And then trying to forecast and plan has been difficult, to say the least. But that's not you know, all it is. You know, I'm working from home now, exclusively working from home. So some of us here who are also working from home, you know, it's really hard to disconnect. You feel like you're always working. And especially because it's this whole online thing, you feel like you're always on. Right? It's hard to just say no to work or just to stop it when it's over, when 4 or 5 o'clock hit, because you have this constant access to your emails and to your phone. And so there's this no sense that this work is over, or the day is over. But not only has ministry been really busy, so has life. You know, the rest of life hasn't slowed down, just slow down because of COVID. It's actually picked up in many ways. My wife, Joy, she works part-time. So most days of the week when I'm done, we switch off. So our office is like the loft. So I'll come downstairs and I'll be spending time with the kids, making dinner. Not all the time. My wife's very, very generous and she'll make dinner most days of the week. But it's tough because with COVID, like everything shut down. So we would usually right now be in the pool, but we can't swim. And so we can't go to the park until recently. And even if we're in the park, there's not much we can do because we want to be careful, right? We want to social distance and prevent spread. And so it's been hard because, again, we don't put our girls in front of the TV and just say, hey, watch away. And especially our younger one, she can't do it. She can't be in front of the screen for too long. She gets antsy. So there's that. And again, we mentioning just meal planning. While the girls were in school, we had like one less meal to think about. And now we have to think about three meals every day, all the time. I've got to admit, and I'm embarrassed to admit this, but we've had kheem. And for those who don't know, that is that dried seaweed, eggs, kimchi and rice a lot. Like, that's our go-to. We're tired. You know what we're going to get. Thankfully, the girls like it. You like it, right? So this season, in effect, has been really hard for our family. And I imagine that it's been hard for many of you here. You know, during this pandemic, I often find myself wavering between fear and frustration with the present and anxiety about the future. Perhaps you can relate. You know, in the midst of this present busyness and suffering and uncertainty about the future, it's very easy for me and for any of us to experience spiritual amnesia, forgetfulness of what matters. We feel like we're being pulled in so many different directions. We have all these decisions to make, all these what ifs, what's going to happen in the fall with school, with my work, with my family, people who I know are sick, all these things. And we can feel very scatterbrained and maybe even fractured. Being fearful and frustrated in the present and anxious about the future was a very familiar experience for the Israelites. We know this to be true because so much of the Old Testament depicts the Israelites as a people who grumbled and tried to take their lives into their own hands. You know, whenever the Israelites were met with afflictions or some kind of uncertainty, they forgot who God is. So how did God help the Israelites? Well, the Psalms were the prayers and the songs that battled spiritual amnesia. And the Psalms did it by helping the Israelites to remember. Let me share my screen before I forget. You know, I titled today's sermon, Remember, with that hyphen, because as I was reading this Psalm and preparing for this sermon, the image that came to mind was kind of like the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37. I saw something like a body with its parts fractured and disconnected. But as I was reading and meditating on the psalm, I had this picture of these, you know, body parts splattered on the ground, reattaching themselves and making them whole. So this is remember. Right, reattaching the members of our body. And so what I want you guys to kind of get is that remembering God makes us whole again. It's one of the ways that we are put together again. Because in the midst of even one day, we feel like we're over there, we're over here, and it's just chaos. And remembering God makes us whole again. So before COVID, the majority of ministry with the students was on Sundays. So everything was on a Sunday. Sunday morning, after service, and then Sunday night, we'd have our own like youth group gathering. But with COVID-19, we addressed that lack of ministry outside of Sundays by starting this daily meeting called Wake Up with the Word. You know, what Wake Up with the Word is, it's a gathering Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. And it's simple. We just read a psalm open up some time for, you know, sharing insights or questions. And then we pray and then praise, just one song of praise. And that's it. And what's great is that over these past few months, it's transformed from, you know, me and our staff member leading these gatherings to now being mostly student led. So it's great. And really, God has been using the Psalms these past 4 months to keep me sane and to make me whole again, day after day. The Psalm that we're going to be reading today, it's Psalm 105. It also happens to be the Psalm that we're going to be looking at tomorrow for Wake Up With the Word. And Psalm 105 is the first of three remembrance Psalms. Psalms that particularly recollect God's power, provisions, and presence in Israel's history. And so let me start us off in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. And you can follow along with the slide if you like. This is the ESV. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. These first six verses describe really the purpose of remembering God. Again, it's so easy for us to get caught up in today or in tomorrow and forget God. It's that spiritual amnesia. But this psalm, it brings our attention and our focus back to the one who gives us reasons to rejoice and be thankful. See, the psalmist wants his readers to remember God's wondrous works in the past so that they could respond by praising him in the present and seeking and relying on him continually, today and tomorrow and on and on and on. So the rest of the psalm then sharpens our focus. It really like narrows in on God's faithfulness. So let's continue reading. Psalm 105, 7 to 11. He is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. The psalmist points out that God, right, though he might feel distant and remote, is not an impersonal God. He is the Lord our God. And I have that word our bolded there because I want us to see that. God is not the God over there, the God remote, but he's the personal God. He is our God. And our God is the one who remembers. Don't forget that. Our God is the one who remembers. Even when we don't remember, God remembers. He remembers his covenant with Abraham. In particular, the psalmist points out that God remembers his promise to Abraham of a great land, right? In verse 11 says, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. And that's just one part of the covenant that God made with Abraham. And I find that very interesting that this psalm focuses pretty much on the land and the land alone. Because we'll see that the land, right, this promise of the land is the central theme. And I think this is so great. This is so wise of the psalmist because he wants to ground the people of God in this particular promise of God. And he wants them to be singing and really wants us to be singing as we look at God's concrete, visible work. See, the psalmist doesn't write about God in abstract, right? He's trying to help us to see, like, God actually does what he's promised to do. Like, his word is trustworthy. Think about it like this. When I help my kids, right, when I help Hesed or Natalie remember what type of dad I am, I find it more helpful to refer to concrete demonstrations of my character. So it's much more helpful to remind the girls of a time when I carried something heavy or how I easily carried them in my arms than to just tell them I'm strong. Wouldn't you say so? Yes, she nodded. And as God's children, we too are often encouraged in the same way. If it is more helpful to remember the particular concrete ways that God has shown us his character than to simply be told that he is good, or that he is strong, or that he is sovereign, but to be told, like, this is the way he is those things, right? It's a little like when I used to tutor high school students writing college essays. I tell them, hey, when you write, don't tell, but show. Because that really conveys the point that you're trying to make much more powerfully, much more illustratively. Now on to verse 12. When they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. The psalmist reminds the Israelites of God's power when they were really weak. Again, he gives us good images, like concrete ways in which God's power was demonstrated. He protected them, this weak nation, Israel, against greater kingdoms while they were wandering, while they were without a home. Verse 15 alludes to times when God intervened in miraculous ways and kept kings like Abimelech from taking the wives of the patriarchs for themselves, right? Abraham and Isaac in Genesis. And God did that because why? God is keeping his promises, because if the kings took Sarah or Rebecca as their wives, in effect, it could have nullified the promises of God. It could have been like, whose kid is that? Who's going to be continuing that promise? Now, onto verse 16. When he summoned a famine, here God summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron until what he did, what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. And Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. Now this portion recounts how Israel came to Egypt. I hope you're kind of seeing this theme of land, right? So we see that there's that focus of land. Now we're in the land of Egypt, or the land of Ham. The way in which this happened, how Israel from wandering came to Egypt, was really unexpected. See, Israel didn't come to this great land by conquest or a show of strength. Instead, Israel came to this land through the provident work of God through Joseph. And Joseph, he didn't come to Egypt in chariots. He came in chains. He came as a slave. And I encourage you, if you haven't read the story of Joseph in Genesis, in a while, I encourage you to do that. Because Joseph's life is a testimony of God working out his plan in unlikely ways. Now on to verse 26. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark, and they did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts through their land. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, young locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of their ground. He struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits of all their strength. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. Here we're introduced to two more men that God used to keep his promise to Israel. He chose Moses and Aaron to lead God's people out of slavery from Egypt. And even though their names are highlighted and are introduced in that portion, right, they're the first names to come out, really this portion, these 13 verses, are not about Moses and Aaron, but they're here declaring the great works of God. These verses highlight God's amazing power. These verses remind the Israelites and remind us that God is stronger than the so-called gods of Egypt. These verses point out how God had masterful control over all creation. He could tell the animals and the insects to go here and there whenever he wanted. He could direct the light to disappear and the darkness to cover the land. And even the breath of man obeyed God's word. There's nothing out of God's sovereign control. And this is so important for the Israelites to remember, for us to remember in these times when things seem very uncertain. When we're so caught up in the present, we forget how great our God is. Because, again, maybe as we're going through this pandemic and the plans that we had for the summer or even the fall have fallen apart, we need to be reminded, again, how God is bigger and stronger, how these pressures and this pandemic are not too big for God, that he will not fold under this weight, but he is sovereign over it all. And looking back on the concrete ways that God demonstrated his power helps quell our doubts. That's the last portion of this psalm. He spread out a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing, and he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. Verse 42 again points out our God is the one who remembers. He remembers his holy promise and his people. See, God didn't just set the Israelites free from Egypt and then told them, hey guys, you figure out how to survive on your own. I did the hard work, now you do the rest. No, God continues to provide. He provides his presence in the cloud by day and the fire by night. And his presence, as we see, it protects them and guides them. He also provided food in miraculous ways. And I love how the psalmist describes God's generosity and provision in verse 40. See, they asked, and he brought quail and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He's not stingy. He's generous. He gives in abundance. And as I mentioned earlier, back in the beginning of our psalm, the promise of land is central to this psalm. In verse 44, what we see is God keeping his promise. We see his promise fulfilled because he gave them, the Israelites, the land of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil. And so if you're singing this song, if you're praying this song, if you're reading or hearing this song, you can track God is faithful. Like, he is the one who keeps his word and is able to keep this word. And the psalmist ends this psalm with a reminder of the purpose of remembering God and his wondrous works. He says, praise the Lord. Remembering God's faithfulness in the past leads to praise in the present. Now, the psalm highlighted God's faithfulness to Israel from Abraham to conquest, right, to the time of Joshua when they came into the land of Canaan. And this period of time covered hundreds of years of God in action, maybe more. I didn't calculate, but it's a lot. It's a long time. But what's amazing is that you and I, everyone here in this Zoom call, we have not hundreds, but thousands of years that we can look back and remember and rejoice over the ways in which God worked. See, the Israelites, they looked back and what they saw were great yet flawed men, like Joseph and Moses, who God used to do amazing things. But we have God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Tim Keller, in his devotional on the Psalms, really captures the blessing that we enjoy at this present time in history. And this is what he writes. He says, as great as Israel's salvation was, it was temporary and incomplete. For Israel did not keep his laws and precepts. Something more was needed. In Jesus, we get a greater Joseph who, taken captive and killed, was raised to the right hand of the throne to forgive and save those who betrayed him. We get a greater Moses who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant. We get the greater rock of Moses who, receiving the rod of God's justice, gives us the water of eternal life in a desert for a world. Behind everything God does, there is something unimaginably greater. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church, during this time of great uncertainty and suffering, may we remember God and praise the Lord. In closing, I'm just going to suggest four ways to help us to remember God's faithfulness in the past so that we can praise him in the present. The first is this. Read the Psalms and the Gospels. And I'll start with Psalm 1. Like, I know that a lot of people are struggling to worship God, to feel God's presence. And one of the ordinary means of grace that God has given us, as you guys know, as Pastor John and Shion have trained me well and probably a lot of you well in, it's just we get to know God as we read his word and meditate on it. And so, you know, I want to share that as I've been blessed with the Psalms, I want you guys to be blessed by being in the Psalms. So just take one Psalm a day. Start with Psalm 1 if you want. And start with Matthew, right? And here I wouldn't say like you have to do one chapter a day, because you know what I find myself doing oftentimes, if I have like a checklist of readings, I just want to check it out. I just want to get it done. And I don't give it the appropriate time for me to really remember and think about what God has been done, what he has done and who he is. And so if it's just like reading a couple verses a day and really setting your mind on him, then do that. Then there's no way in which is more correct. But really, as you think about reading the word, figure out a way that will help you to remember, to kind of just soak in what God has done. Again, you know, for our church, we're doing that Wake Up with the Word. And so we're doing it with a group of people, and that helps a lot. So maybe you find somebody else after this who's like, yeah, I want to practice remembering God better or more. And then you guys could do your own Wake Up with the Word. Zoom is free for 40 minutes, and it shouldn't take 40 minutes. But it's just a great way for us, again, to remember God's past faithfulness so that we would praise him in the present. Second, I would recommend reading biographies. Sometimes we could feel somewhat removed from what God's done in the past as recorded in scripture. You know, sometimes we would look at the Bible and it's like, oh, that's like so many years ago. Or like, man, I just don't feel it. It doesn't help me. And it's okay. There are times when I find that too. But I found myself praising God and in all of his faithfulness when I read what he's done in the lives of people in recent history. I remember when, I think it was my first year or my second year. I don't remember exactly when. This is still when they had that building in Philly with Inner City Missions. But I remember going, and I remember I just sat on the couch and I found a biography of George Mueller. And that spring break, you know, I read that book as we were doing ministry, and it really added a new dimension to serving God and serving people. Because as I was reading his biography, I was just immersed in the way that God provides and how powerful he is even now. So biographies, again, they help make God's faithfulness in the past more concrete so that we have very specific things to praise God in the present. Here I just listed some recommendations. Not limited to these, but I would really recommend some of these biographies. And if you guys are bored and really like, in you know, reading, pick up one of these books. They're great. And if you aren't fond of reading, because I know not everyone is, you can either listen to these books in audio form or just watch a movie or documentary about current or past Christians. And just the way that God was active in their lives. Today at service at my church, we remembered one of our pastors who passed away last year. And there's just something about remembering his life and the way that God worked. That, of course, it led to a certain sadness, but also to a great joy. Because we're like, you know, God worked in this guy's life. And he was faithful to the end. And so remembering the people of the past, even of the most recent past, it can help us fill that hole that we often feel, that distance, the gap that we might have with God, and make us whole again. Third practice would be reflect on God's work in your life and the life of others with other Christians. On this call, there's this guy named John Choi. He is literally a brother to me, right? We've been friends since my freshman year at Cornell, and it's been a real blessing to be a friend of his and for him to be my friend, because we try to talk every month. You know, life gets busy, of course, and so you know, we haven't been as consistent recently, but for the most part, we're always in communication, whether through text. And what's been so great is that we're able to look back on the way that God's been working in our lives. And we have, what, 2004? So like about 16 years to look back on. And so sometimes in our conversations, we just talk about like, man, John came a long way. Or he'll remind me, Tom, you were this immature. And God's doing a work in your life. And to remember those things, to remember how he's been at work, how God's been at work is such a blessing. And to hear that from one another. I'm also blessed to be married to my wife, who I also went to school with. And in particular, as we've been married almost 10 years, we've been able to experience God's faithfulness together. And so, you know, on car rides or just kind of in the downtime, we just talk about the way that we see God work in each other's lives. And it brings us great joy. It gets us hyped. We're just like, yes, Jesus is alive. Like, hallelujah. And so as we look back on God's faithfulness in the past, it really does lead to praise in the present. Lastly, I encourage you to share the good news with others. You know, tell the good news to a neighbor, a friend, or a family member. You know, Psalm 105:1, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known the deeds among the peoples. It reminds us that one of the reasons why we remember God's past faithfulness is to make known his deeds among the peoples now. But what's cool is that as we do that, it helps us to remember. Because how can I tell somebody what I've forgotten? Makes sense, right? So when we are making the intentional choice to share the good news of Christ, we're also entering into a practice of remembering God's faithfulness in the past. And really then sharing the good news is just praising God in the present and inviting others to do the same. And so again, in this time of real uncertainty where fear and frustration in the present can overwhelm us, or the uncertainty and anxiety that comes with the future might weigh us down, I encourage us to remember God, to remember his wondrous works in the past, so that in the present, we can praise him. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that in your word is recorded the wondrous ways, Lord, the numerous ways in which you have been faithful in the past. And the ways that you have promised to be faithful in the present and in the future. And as we remember you, God, today, would it lead to praise, to rejoicing, to seeking, and depending on you continually. So turn our attention, turn our focus onto you this day. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.